for the first time ever, the creative creates the reach. Do you know how crazy that is? That if you are good at social media creative today, you've never done it in your life. Today's the first day I'm posting my first ever video and can get 1 million views if it's right. Creative creating reach is unheard of.
Attention is the number one asset.
What in your mind, like, what is the formula to build like brand sales when you're thinking about 23 and going into 24? Like, what's really exciting you in the marketing space right now?
The thing that scares me and excites me is the same thing, which is I believe in reach and frequency and relevance. Like, I believe in all the same stuff that the industry has believed forever. I just don't believe the industry has adopted to the truth of what the consumer's attention and behaviors are. And so, you know, I'm a businessman. I want to sell something. I don't want to win an award in the south of France. I don't want Ad Age to say I'm clever. I don't want a media plan to look good in the MMM. And we're like, we did it. We paid a low ROAS. Like, at the end of the day, everyone here wants the thing to happen that they want to happen. And so what excites me is 14 years ago, I know that I was in it for it. It was going to take a long time before people really understood. What excites me is that people are starting to get it. Like, it's getting hard on November 14, 2023 to not understand what's happening in the difference of a television commercial and an email and a piece of direct mail and a radio ad and a print ad and a billboard versus social media, right? And to remind everybody here, especially because I don't know everybody, like, I have no emotion or love towards social media. I just have an emotion and love to attention and then being good at storytelling within it at a cost that is viable against the business objective. And we've never seen a medium. Like, just to go on a rant, because now I'm already excited 2 seconds in. For the first time ever, the creative creates the reach. Do you know how crazy that is? That if you are good at social media creative today, you've never done it in your life. Today's the first day I'm posting my first ever video and can get 1 million views if it's right. Creative creating reach is unheard of. And the AI is so powerful, even more interesting for someone like me, it actually extracts real consumer insights. I mean, everyone here has got to be tired of spending lots of money on consumer insights that are really flawed because it's too small of a group. It's a lagging indicator. It's not pure insight. So I don't know. I think I'm excited that the shit's hitting the fan. And I know for a lot of people that's concerning because it's not the same old playbook. They don't fully understand what that all means. But I like merit. I'm a fan of it. And I think we're in the pre-dawn of a very different era of marketing because people are really feeling the effects. Like, you know, market share loss is real for a lot of brands. You know, depending on what business you're in, like CPGs have woken up to something I've been crying about for 5 years, which is retail media is gonna take all your money. Walmart and Target are not fooling around. They want every single dollar. And then, so now really you're a sales organization, not a marketer. We can't spend $1 million on a video that nobody wants to watch. You know, we can't buy programmatic and feel good about the CPM cost and assume it was actually consumed. There's just all these things really we got to get rid of all these boogeymen. And so we're in it.
Someone asked me about 4 or 5 years ago, what's marketing? I was brought up a marketer. What's your definition of marketing these days?
The original TV ads was product integration, right?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it's not like it's kind of how I think about innovation. People just think the world stops innovating in their lifetime. Like, when everyone's talking about AI right now, it's like as if your parents didn't go through waking up one day and then there was the internet and they're like, shit, what the hell is this? And this is a problem for me. I don't like this. And you remember all of us, I'm looking at everyone's face here. A lot of us remember 1998, 99, 2000. Like, the problem is, you know this, how brands grow, reach, frequency, and television. There's not a human being on earth that is watching a television commercial outside of Super Bowl. It's not happening. And even if it is, and of course there is at some level, I love how everybody's like, Gary, people are still watching live sports. I'm like, yes. A national football game is different than running a commercial during a national football game. We're just not reaching. And the cost, Joe, you know, again, here's my real issue. Every marketing agency is trying to make margin for themselves because they're all publicly traded companies. You got five holding companies, six holding companies, and I'm not mad at them. This is not me razzing them. This is me being empathetic. But what's happening is they're feeding all these brands the wrong information because it's where their margin sits. Margin sits in television and programmatic digital. But on the consumer side, they're not consuming it. So running a commercial on MASH in 1982 was brilliant. Most people didn't, I mean, and take it back even 5 years. I mean, the remote control was like bad for us. Like it was much better when you had to actually, if you didn't have a kid in the house being the remote control, you had to get, and so you didn't, so you watched it. So you do know what marketing is. It's how do you spend whatever you've allocated, how do you spend that to get the most people to actually see? And then the way, whatever you fit in there, how do you actually win on relevance with them enough to say, I want to buy this? The problem is every single creative agency on earth of any kind of size wants to make one video for the whole year and charge you a ton of money. To win on relevance in 2024, where this is the device of choice, this is the television, and the television is the radio. And it's 1959 to 1967. That's what's happening right now, Joe. And if you really like the history of this shit, the biggest brands in the world, Procter & Gamble was built because they outspent everybody on television. And I'll give you a really modern lesson on this. Amazon, I think you guys are really going to like this. Amazon, when Google AdWords was the big moat of underpriced attention from 2000 to 2005, Amazon was the number one spender on Google AdWords by 5x to the second biggest spender, which was eBay. So, you know, what I know is that right now, social media, and even more importantly, this will land for all of you, what I know about OTT and fast channels and the modern television, right? If you look at YouTube TV, Hulu, what Netflix's ad product's gonna look like, television is starting to look like social, not the other way around. And for you, that's good actually, because you can have way less media waste because you don't go broad anymore, you go narrow. The problem is, and this is why I'm so empathetic to everyone, nobody's built the capabilities. The reason so many people took social in-house was no creative AOR knew how to do social. The problem is social creative is the hardest marketing craft in the world. So now what everybody's woken up to is, it felt good at first, you cut some costs, you have an internal team, but then everyone wakes up and says, what's social doing for us? The answer is nothing, because you're not good at it. Like, you have to be good at the craft, you know? And so, Joe, I think it's really kind of cool. It's nothing's changed. It's attention, relevance that creates consideration. I actually think it's better than it's ever been, because even in the heyday of 1979, 1982, you still had to pick one video, right? And yeah, you could get 60% of the country to love Where's the Beef or this, it would work. But the fact that if you cut down your cost of creative today and you can get Latino moms in the Southeast with $100,000 income and you know that that's the cohort you're targeting, well, you're gonna make creative for her, which is obviously very different than you're gonna make creative for a 22-year-old gamer boy who's in college on his senior, but it breaks people's brain to make 8,000 ads in a year, which is crazy, because here's, I'm going old school on this one. Do you know that Betty Crocker used to run national print, different ads in every market, and wherever they felt the biggest sales uplift, that printout's creative became the brief for what they did as a national commercial. I believe that that's what we do today as an agency. We're just not doing it on print and television. We're doing it on social and then doubling down on social or television, depending on the context.
Yeah, I love it. Thank you.
The old school thinking, right? Before any of the social media, and of course, you know, you're always wasting half of your marketing budget. You don't know which half and those whole thing. So how to get the retail mindset? Certainly a lot of leading retailers are changing their thinking on their networks. And like you said, trying to steal every dollar. But there's still a massive amount of money in trade.
Tons.
That needs to be leveraged properly. It's not that you want to take it away and lower the trade rate from 30 to 20 and put it in your pocket. How do you leverage it better? How do you put it towards consumer? How do you make one and one equal five, not even three? And you know, when you talk about trading attention and things like that, which I love, you talked about it so long, the book's gonna be awesome. How do you make that sustainable and continuous, you know, and that engagement? So it's not just day trading and you have to reinvest and reinvest. How do you get that lift, that momentum? You talked also about the storytelling. So I want to stop there. And just
yeah, I mean, look, the momentum comes from the quality of the product.
Mm-hmm.
Right, like if you really think about LTV, right, there is a little, like, you know, this is where it's like fun to talk about business, not like, the worse your product is, the more you have to continue to like replace customers, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, to me, you know, it's funny, there is no world that we will all ever live in again that won't be based on day trading attention. The world's too fast. Like, consider, like, people are just moving, they're just living. Like, we're just living at a different pace. This internet thing is finally caught up to us.
Right.
You know what I mean, brother? Like, it just is what it is. Like, it's, you know, and again, you're not going to be able to change the trade part. Like, shopper and trade, they're going to make you do what they want you to do. What I want you to do, like, here's my biggest pet peeve.
Mm.
The biggest, like, the people that are in these broad market stores, they're funding the startups that are winning on social, that then Walmart, Ulta, Sephora, Target are courting them. So they're taking our money. I actually have been writing a book that I'll probably not put out, but I've been working on it. And I was really on this, and I think I missed my window. It was called The Channel Conflict Wars.
Hmm.
And it was a prediction. You may remember this from some of the firesides. I was like, guys, girls, like, our competitors are our retailers, and the only thing you do is care about your retailer. Because Walmart represents 57% of Ragu's business, right? Like, I understand. The problem is, so what do I want? Whatever money you have left that they're not taking from you, we need to build our own DTC capabilities, no bullshit. Even if it's 3% of our business, we need the DNA and we need them to know it exists. Number two, we need to build demand. You know, like, these kids that grew up on my content, Mr. Beast, Logan Paul, like, they're like building the biggest CPG brands in the world.
Right.
And like, you know, it's, you know, anyway, nonetheless, driving down the cost of creative needs to be religion. That needs to be like, when you wake up, like, you brush your teeth, all of you. And I know a lot of you wear different hats and will do different things. If, you know, just try to bring the most value I can here for the rest of your life. This is going to be a race to whoever can drive down the cost of relevant creative the most is going to have an imperative advantage. I'll give you a good example. One thing I believe that we should be doing a lot more of, this goes back to classic stuff. This is why I always laugh, because I know what I can be perceived as, but it's so crazy how tried and true I believe. It's just, so I believe trial and sampling should be quadrupled down on.
Mm.
Like, you want people to buy something, let them try it and they'll like it and they buy. Like quadruple down on. Now, I prefer not to pay the VIG at Costco, if you can even get in there.
Right.
I prefer to literally do trial activations that are very scrappy. Like, I don't care if you go to farm stands or build a lemonade stand outside your house, or more realistically, do activations at events where you think your target audience is. But here's the key. You then need to film the entire 2 days, one camera, and then you then post-produce all that Creative Joe. This is where it's so different, because Creative Joe for you, Kathy, Joe, like, the way we all grew up, there wasn't a chief creative officer on earth that ever heard the word distribution. They had no clue, because it was default, it was television.
Right.
When I make content, I mean, literally, it's happening right now. That's Julian. Like, I am constantly, I mean, some of you know this because you know, like, the context of what you see from me on social media or LinkedIn. Like, I'm just filming. And then we are post-producing. And as you can imagine, in this combo, there's going to be a lot more LinkedIn in this than maybe, say, TikTok.
Right.
But by the way, I can make a TikTok out of this in 2 seconds. I'll have to do a lot of tweaking post-production. I may even have to film something in addition to what I just said and say, hey kids, this is what I mean based on what you do on Fortnite. Like, but I can do it. And so the post-production skill set. So now all of a sudden, think about what I'm thinking. You're doing trial and sampling, which is really what you should be doing, way more of, to the best of your ability. But now you get two for one because you're filming it, and now that's feeding, and you know this, you've got some great products. You get one person with a over the, you know, humans are funny. I'm a very bombastic guy. You get a big reaction to how delicious it is. You get the quote that you've been dreaming of. It's a hell of a lot better than an actor because it's the actual truth, right? And you clip it. And now that gets you 3.7 million views on TikTok. I mean, let's talk real business. One man took a bottle of ocean spray and drank it while he was on a skateboard listening to Fleetwood Mac. And every bottle of ocean spray in America sold out. You know, we've sat, look at the collective energy in this room. Hundreds of years of marketing, me included, and none of us have that impact. We've never had that ad. We have to respect that is the world we live in, and the faster we figure that out, I'll use sports because I like it a lot. A lot of people grew up 30 years ago saying, I'm going to be a baseball player because that's where the money is. Well, guess what? It ended up being basketball. If you're the eighth man on a basketball team, you're making $40 million a year. Because the way the economics worked out, smaller teams, player deals. So I just think everyone's in marketing, back to your point, Joe, thinks it's baseball and it's basketball. And you're still an athlete, but like if you trained for baseball, that's a lot of work to unwind to now be a good basketball player, even if you're a great athlete. And so we need to start working in that direction.
We have 100% believe content and channel. Right. And I'm actually, I like the 3C alliteration to consideration. I like your term there. Just thinking about this idea of everything in marketing is consideration. It's all conversion. Like, how do we drive people? And I think you're bringing up this really interesting point of how do we train now entire groups of people to think at the speed of today's business? That, I think, is one of our biggest gaps. People are traditionally slow. We think about creating a marketing campaign that launches in 90 days. What's really happening is it's happening today. In every moment, it's capturing content. It's finding ways to make it useful. And some of it's great. Some of it's bad. And, okay, we buy the book. And
no, but the book. Like, download the book for free on a pirated site. It's the concept of day trading attention that I'm bringing up the book for. It's not I don't even think of it as today. I literally think about it.
In the minutes.
Correct. But here's where people get confused. The attention opportunity is happening by the seconds. There are things happening in culture by the seconds. But it doesn't mean that tried and true human behaviors aren't real. Parents are always scared. That won't change whether we have the internet. Like, so that's a human truth you can trade on, right? But I'm totally with you. So go ahead. I didn't want to cut you off, but I couldn't agree with you
this
more.
This was like exactly the dialogue. You were just making me think about, you've got massive amounts of marketing team and talent who are fabulous, but that are thinking in a different speed. And they're thinking in a different way to capture. And it's a really big gap. That's why
it's a really
so
big
many
gap.
Great content creators that show up with the, you know, oceans, right, are like crushing it. Because we're not adapting as teams and as companies fast enough.
Well, I'll tell you where we get. I'll tell you where a lot of us are getting hurt. Ideology.
Oh, interesting.
So let me tell you why people are slow. Because they're scared to make a single piece of content on social media that's off-brand. Are you fucking kidding me?
Can I video that? Can I just record that?
Good news, Kathy. I got it for you. I'll send it to you. Kathy, it is killing everyone.
Yes.
Cindy's point is absolutely right. One of the reasons everyone's slow is everyone actually believes a single human being's subjective opinion of what's on brand is right.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say that nice and slow. We were all trained, it's in our subconscious, that, you know what blew my mind? So like I came in very cold. Like I came from running a wine retail business. But I knew, and so I was living, and now I'm learning the world, right? And I would go to Bergen and go and see Kathy and Unilever. And I would say, you know, you have these meetings and I realized, oh shit, I have to capture the subjective opinion of this brand manager to know what they think is snarky, right? And so you'd work on that. And then all these companies would rotate and you finally got it with like a month ago, and the new person comes on and says, well, the brand stands for snarky. This isn't snarky. And I'm like, this is insane. These are the biggest brands in the world. And we are literally wasting $1 trillion on meetings to try to guess what's inspirationally exciting or like creating hope on a daily basis, or what's snarky from a day, like it would be insane. I can do brand, Interbrand charges $5 million to come up with a vanilla sentence. I'm like literally gonna make a ChatGPT plug that you say what your brand is and it'll give you six brand positionings. And I promise you, it's the same shit, but it takes 1 minute and costs zero instead of 9 months and costs $3 million. And so everyone's slow because they're scared, because they think that every single Instagram post is a Super Bowl ad.
Don't you think they're also scared to be wrong or have it fail because the institutions themselves don't like know how to handle that?
Yes.
They don't know how to handle the failure
yes.
that is inevitable in the test.
Yes. They also don't realize that when you spend $78 to make a piece of creative and it only reaches 113 people, that was probably the most successful ad they've ever been a part of, dollar for dollar. There's just a lot that people don't understand.
That's right.
Because we flipped the funnel. Like it's, I'm again, I come from like wild empathy, but the problem is, but it happened. Like, you know, it's like I, by the way, you don't think I, me, wishes this was 1957? I would make Don Draper look like Amateur Hour. I'd be killing it. Like, but it's just not what's happened. Like, sorry, we can't drink cocktails for 4 hours in the middle of the day and come up with a good idea on a napkin and get paid $17 million a year as AOR. It's over.
And there's some fun things going. I mean, you know better than anyone, Gary. There's a lot of fun going on right now.
Yes.
So it sounds like we have a lot of history with General Mills and Unilever.
Yep.
I recently moved to a private equity firm, operating partner, marketing.
Yep.
Those private equity folks, their minds are totally different.
Totally.
They're not talking about building brands for 50 years, 100 years. You're talking about facts. So it's an opportunity to get some things done. And they're a lot more willing to take the risk and do exactly what you're talking about. So it's a question of getting them to talk, to understand marketing in a way.
I think that's right. To your point, Kathy, you may remember this. Like my, just to remind most of you, and I told Kathy this 10 years ago, so it might not be top of her mind. The only reason I started VaynerMedia is because I'm building a private equity firm. I'm building a private equity firm on top of this company.
Mm-hmm.
I read a book about 3G Capital. I said, they've got it backwards. I know they're going to win because I understand Wall Street, but I'm going to eat shit for a decade or two and figure out this Fortune 500 CPG thing. And then I'm going to build a private equity firm on top of it. And in essence, that's what I'm doing. And, you know, I got a little bit impatient along the way. So I started Resy, the restaurant app, and sold that to Amex. I started this wine brand, Empathy Wines. I sold that to Constellation. I'm building my Pokemon Marvel Sesame Street thing now. But what I'm really, really doing is putting my money where my mouth is. Like, this is what's going to happen. The biggest brands in the world are going to fuck this up even more over the next 15 years. More.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you're absolutely right, Kathy. The DNA you're in now is 7-year windows. Let's make it happen. The issue is, what you know, is like, and it goes back to what you said, Joe, that 50 cents of the dollars being wasted, but I don't know which 50 cents, real talk, both on the PE front, and I spend uncomfortable amounts of time with BlackRock and Blackstone and Apollo and Carlyle and Catterton. And I'm really, you know, because I'm prepping for my, you know, my next chapter. And, you know, whether it's Fortune 500 brands working with WPP or it's private equity firms who are lucky enough to have a Kathy, but often don't know what to do with, like, it all the way. Like, I really actually believe what I'm about to say. And this, Sydney, is why your company and others that do know what they're doing are able to have this hyper growth. There's a reason. I believe that 90 cents on the dollar for most companies in marketing is going in the trash. And it's the people that know what to do really grow. And we see, this is why, forget about Donald Trump and Obama, who both won their campaigns because of social media. I like study very local politics. When I tell you the amount of upsets happening at the mayor level, city council, and it's all the same. What about fame? What about actual fame? Like, do you know who fame sits with today? I mean, Kathy, again, because we've known each other. You know how ludicrous it is that people know who I am at the scale they do? And it's because I was like, I ate my own dog food. I was like, I couldn't get brands to do it, so I just did it on myself as a moat for leverage later.
One question for you is the dynamic that we're, and I'm thrilled to hear, I think we're doing in this very scrappy way a lot of the things that you're bringing up. the struggle we continue to have is with our friends over at Instagram and those algorithm changes and how much do you spend there? How much do you spend on content creation? Where do you put that? In a dynamic where, Kathy, we are PE backed and I got a board full of a bunch of CPG peeps that, you know, all grew up in the old school land. So would just to love to get your thoughts on, you know, staying on top of the algorithm changes we continue to see and, you know, how we support that in a world where we're going to get outspent.
The good news is all of you, the theme of this whole meeting, we all know what being outspent meant 20 years ago. It means you were going to lose. Like you needed something really remote, like meaning it was, and you know, and I'm a pretty big fan of your brand and obviously what Cindy T just talked about and like I can go on and on. The people that are getting outspent are in a better place today because they're doing the thing we've talked about today.
We're like, trying.
And so what do I think? I think it's your biggest advantage, but it needs to be your religion.
Yeah.
Right? So we have something internally called PAC, Platforms and Culture. The reason we went past everyone in the last 5 years especially was we had these people behind the scenes, literally dozens and dozens and now hundreds and hundreds. Kathy, you're going to like this. We have 2,000 employees now globally. We're a big company. We have hundreds of people. Just, I need everyone to wrap their head around what I'm about to say. We have hundreds of people whose entire job is to just pay attention to what the platforms are doing and what's happening in pop culture. It's all they do for a living. Do you know how insane that is? Because it's the whole game. The whole game. If you know that Ice Spice is going to be famous 6 months before someone else, you lock her up for 100K as an ambassador instead of 7 million. 6 months. Yeah. If you know what I know, and I'm going to give it all to you right now, and I hope all of you do it tomorrow, that on Instagram right now, if you do a picture, a two-post, a carousel, instead of a picture or video, you do a carousel. The first one's a picture, the second one's a video that matches the picture, that you will get much more organic reach than if you just did it. If you know that, you know. If you know that Mr. Beast spends hundreds of, like thousands, tens of thousands, sometimes hundreds of thousands of dollars just on his thumbnail for his video. Think about that. So what do I think? I think it needs to be the single, it is singularly the biggest thing I invest in, more than anything on earth. Is understanding what every platform, here's a big one that will help you all. You need to start posting on LinkedIn. LinkedIn right now, is Facebook 2013. I don't care if you sell sparkling water, salsa, t-shirts. If you don't think about LinkedIn the way you think about it, think of it as it's Facebook. You're just gonna post marketing on there. The organic reach now, when you add the next level of smarts and you realize that all of us on LinkedIn, all of us, when we're on LinkedIn, are a different version of ourselves than we are on TikTok, and you can make it a little bit relevant to that mindset. So yes, a little B2B kind of DNA to it, or business travel, right? Like, you know, if you think to make it a little contextual, you're creative, but the organic reach on LinkedIn is a real opportunity. YouTube Shorts is a monster that everyone's underperforming on. YouTube Shorts is acting like TikTok, but YouTube is the second biggest search engine in the world. So if you title your videos with the thought of SEO, you can have long tail effects on your creative that you can't get from every other platform. So these are like, I'm just spitballing this is why this is the game.
Gary, can I just add one thing to what you're saying on this like speed of thing? One of the things that we learned is how to use the data in such real time, like, and make that infused into the conversation of every person. Because I think the greatest risk we all face is that the cycles are too long. Something's performing, we don't know why. Something's underperforming, we don't know why. Someone takes too long to figure it out. And so in this like test, fail, optimize cycle, we leaned into building like these data dashboards that were not just like weekly, daily, you know, monthly, as fast as they possibly could be so that everyone felt empowered to have the same set of information to make their next decisions. I can't make the decisions. The people on the ground have to make it. To me,
that's the, first of all, if everyone's listening, one of the things that you're doing is math and art are together in one. Creative and media have to be together. The reason you guys and gals over in your world are doing well is the way I think about where you're at in my academic mind like when I use academic as a framework, is you've now, what I've seen from afar, and you're confirming some of it with your energy and some of the things you've said, is you've won the 201 game. Like there's the 101 game of like, just like, how much do you believe in what the fuck we're saying right now? And do you do it? Then there's the 201 game where you've really got math and art working together. What you're probably already sensing, Sid, which is the 301 game, is a real trippy one. Cause it goes, it's almost super counterintuitive. The biggest vulnerability for brands that fit your profile is they underestimate the art in the next level, right? Like, because of the DNA of your org, the thing that I'm trying to get, the Fanatics, the DraftKings, the Warby Parkers, when your DNA is the way you're coming up, you don't want to do what the old world was. You don't want to make a $213,000 video that might not hit. The problem is, where's the beef and Just Do It and Priceless is right. The problem is that's now happening in YouTube pre-roll or very specific who, like what, so there's this thing looming that's really the way you guys go to that billion or 2 billion is actually the big commercial, but the big commercial now is so different. It's a video that doesn't look like a commercial. It's probably a pre-roll YouTube, and you got to go 1 for 4. And your DNA and your CEO and CFO is like, why did we, like, could you imagine you, I mean, I know without knowing, but I know this is going to land with you. Can you imagine you walking in saying, I need to do something for $196,000 to make a video? And, but the problem is, and I know this because I've really been through every angle, if that hits and it's, and if you know what you're doing, there's a real chance it can, all of a sudden, all your CAC numbers, even with your perfect 201 playbook, all of a sudden, everyone looks around and goes, wait, what the fuck just happened? This used to cost us $1,401 to acquire a customer. It's down to $618. What's going on? You know what's going on? 4 million people watched a 1-minute, 30-second video, and brand always matters, which is back to, it's like, it's this. I was very succinct about this. It's how to actually build brand and sales. And right now, because you're 201, you're in sales, with a trickling of brand because of the way you're doing it. I see it because I'm watching.
It's true.
But what you need to do is get so good at that you say, listen, we got this, but I'm telling y'all, it's only going to go up in cost from now and it's going to get worse for us. We're going to have to take $500,000 risk and make 3 videos at $150 a pop. And one of them's going to have to hit. And that's the Dollar Shave Club. Obviously, Kathy knows that story. Those kind of companies going into big companies doesn't fit the body and organ, but that company sold hundreds of millions of dollars stuff on one video. Like it's still happening every day, you know? And so that's where the prime, and this is why the influencers are going to be the biggest problem. I sold the wine brand for $100 million in 18 months because I already had the organic brand building content. I was the human. That's why Prime and Beastables is the preview, not the anomaly. And so for you, you're gonna have to figure out how to cut out in the budget. And the way I think about that, Sid, is you get even better at 201 so that you're like, look, I'm gonna deliver the same amount of sales for 13% less cost, but you gotta give me back that $800,000. I might go to zero, don't even talk to me, but I've gotta go for my, you know, my version of a Super Bowl spot, which is pre-roll YouTube at scale. And I'm gonna make a 49-second or 2-minute and 18-second video where the first 3 seconds are phenomenal, that's the missing piece for you.
Yeah, actually, you're validating exactly what we're feeling. Like, we're feeling this need to go brand, right? Everyone feels it.
But
because it is the sticky part of who you are.
The problem is, you know that you don't want to do brand the way we were all just talking, Joe.
That's right.
And this is why we make the Sasha Group, like, this whole Vayner Video One. Videos that, we just did this a bunch for. They're literally horror trailers to horror movies selling fucking toilet paper. There's a new age of creativity coming to our industry. There are videos that are ads that 100 people in Times Square would tell you it's an SNL skit. It's a scene from a sitcom.
It's a music video.
It's a music video. So look, there's a lot coming, but this is the punchline. I got to run to my next one. Available to anybody ad hoc. So if there's anything I can help you with, let me know.